Y'all know I love y'all because it's been three summers, and I really do feel like family. I think I've said that probably every time I've gotten up here to preach, but I'm very grateful for y'all. You've made a huge impact in my life, so thank y'all for being family with me. So speaking of family, some people seem like they were just born to tell stories, right? Maybe you're like that. Maybe you know people like that. Shout out Christopher Goss. My family members are a great example of this. So as I've, you know, when I go home for the holidays, I've started to notice that when my people get together, storytelling is our main topic of conversation. Honestly, I'm not really even sure when it starts or how it happens. We just kind of start. Someone begins it and we start taking turns. And every time we get together, we talk and we listen and we laugh and we act like it is the first time that we have ever heard the story, even though most of the time, all of us were also there when it actually happened. And we've been telling these same stories over and over and over again for years. Anybody else have a family like this? Amen. Yes, thank you. I love hearing these stories, and I also love sharing them with everyone else too. Because stories tell us more about each other than just plain information. Like, if you want to know about my family, it is one thing for me to tell you that my parents are married. It is a whole other thing to be able to tell you about the time they met, or how my dad brought another friend on their first date, or about how they accidentally got engaged on April Fool's Day. You can ask me about that another time. Why do we love stories so much? What is it about them that we find so intriguing? Because stories don't just say what happened. They tell us who we are, where we come from, how we got here. It's also true for the stories that we tell about our lives with Jesus. So think about it this way. Telling someone you're a Christian is one thing, but being able to share with them the story of how you became one is another. It's one thing to be able to tell someone that you believe God is good, but being able to share about where you've seen God's goodness throughout your life is so much more compelling. A good story with God draws more people to Him than any of the best arguments ever could. That brings us to our final letter in this series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. If you've been with us the last month or so, you know that we have been going through a series based on a book by John Ferguson and Dave Ferguson. And we have been learning about the ways to bless our neighbors by beginning with prayer, by listening, by eating together and serving. And maybe you've been on board with all of those so far. They require some effort and intentionality, but they don't push you too far outside of your comfort zone. The letter we're covering today, I'm going to warn you, the second S, it can be a little more challenging, for people like me included. I can pray, I will listen, I will eat, I will serve, and I will do it all with the hope that maybe that will lead them to Jesus without me ever having to talk about Him. But as our Bless book says, you can't spell bless with just one S. And you won't likely help anyone discover the love of God without using your words and your story. So our passage today picks up from a story I got to share last summer when I preached right here at Mosaic. And just in case you don't remember all of the details, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of a refresher. So John 4, it's the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus strikes up a conversation with this woman. And it's a surprising conversation for both the woman and the disciples who were off watching it. Because in that time and place, the Samaritans were enemies with the Jews. And women were usually seen as a type of lesser class. Plus, this woman specifically seems to be some kind of an outcast. We're not totally sure why, but she was drawing water by herself in the middle of the day, which, if you've been outside of your house in Augusta the last week, you know is the hottest time of day. So it doesn't make a ton of sense that she was doing this, unless maybe she was trying to avoid people. So this is not the kind of person that a respectable Jewish rabbi should be talking to. But Jesus doesn't seem to mind this woman's background or her reputation. Instead, he asks her for some help getting some water. And in that conversation, Jesus reveals he already knows the reason she's an outcast in her community. He already knows that not only has she had 5 husbands, but the dude she's currently living with is not her husband. And we can't honestly know for sure why she's been married so many times, but in that context, wives weren't usually able to initiate divorce, but none of the other possibilities would make it any easier for her. They could have divorced her. Those husbands could have died. They could have abandoned her. They could have left her for someone else. It's possible that at this point in the woman's life, this 6th dude that she's living with is just a way for her to survive. We don't know her full story, but Jesus does. Jesus knows about all of those other men, and he knows who she is, where she came from, how she got there. And now, in our passage today, Jesus becomes the 7th man to step into her story. And Jesus begins to tell her who he is. He reveals himself to her as the Messiah, the one both the Jews and Samaritans believed would come to make everything right. Which makes this Samaritan woman the very first person in John's gospel to know Jesus' true identity. So, we're going to be picking up right back from there in the book of John, chapter 4, beginning in verse 28. As we say here at Mosaic, the best way to engage the message is with a Bible, something to write with and something to write on. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to just raise your hand and someone will bring one to you. Also, real quick, I want to add, if you did not get that piece of paper, that guide before you came in, you can raise your hand for that too, and we'll get one of those to you as well. All right, again, this is John 4, beginning in verse 28. It says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' And they came out of the town and made their way toward him." So one encounter with Jesus is apparently enough to change everything. One encounter with Jesus, and this evangelized woman has become an evangelist. She cannot wait to share the story about this Savior who has stepped into her story. She literally drops everything for it. So instead of avoiding and hiding from others, now she's telling them to come and to see. And this woman doesn't just tell people about Jesus. Now she's also introducing people to him. And I don't think she went to some evangelism training class. I don't think she read any books, probably didn't listen to any sermon series. And although it is a great gift that we have access to those things, this woman is proof that you don't have to be an expert to be an evangelist. All she knew was Jesus. All she had was her story. And now all of these people are being drawn to Jesus simply by this woman sharing about what he did. And while they're making their way to him, Jesus has this funny little conversation with them beginning back in verse 31. It says, "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone brought him food?' Now, if I were Jesus, I probably would have laughed like someone else did or rolled my eyes or something. But thank God I am not Jesus. Can I get an amen? Instead, he has this fascinating response. In verse 34, he continues, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest?' I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Amen. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Too often, when I think about evangelism and sharing about Jesus with others, I come at it from this really negative and nervous place. I mean, you name the excuse, and I have used it, even in the course of writing this sermon. Maybe you're like me. We assume that no one around us wants to talk about faith, so we will just avoid talking about it too. We don't share our story or Jesus' story because we think we don't know anyone who's interested in hearing it. We tell ourselves we would be glad to share the gospel, happy to do it, but we just don't want to scare anyone off or come across as too pushy, be judged as some kind of Bible thumper. If they really wanted to hear our testimony, they'd ask. We think our problem with evangelism is the people we're trying to evangelize to. But this passage doesn't allow those excuses. It challenges that perspective because we cannot see clearly through the lens of our own pride, insecurity, or selfishness, or fear. Instead, we must learn to see the evangelism of the world as Jesus sees it. Amen. Not as hopelessly hard work, but a great harvest of souls ready to enter the kingdom of God. What if people are actually more willing to hear your story than you are to share it? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus told people, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Which means the lack is in the size of the workforce, not the harvest. So if you're struggling to believe your story might do anything to work in those around you, if you cannot picture people in your life who it might be worth sharing with, Jesus says, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. In response, we can pray, Lord Jesus, give me the eyes to see. Because the Spirit of God is working in the lives of those around us, whether we have the eyes to see it or not. The Spirit of God, the story of Jesus, and our stories with Jesus all work together to draw people to salvation. And I do mean our stories because you will likely never be the only person to share about Jesus in someone's life. But they still need you to. It's like working in a field where some sow and others reap. We know it'll be a while before we ever see a harvest. But Jesus tells us we are not the only ones at work. And the Spirit of God goes before us. So what began as the disciples trying to make sure that Jesus got lunch has now become a lesson. Jesus teaches them and us that the will and work of God are greater sustenance than any food that we could ever eat. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be starving to do that work. I want to be hungry to share my story. My story with Jesus. So I hope that y'all will pray with me that the Lord our God, the God of the harvest, would increase our appetite so that we could see that crop of eternal life. And the way this passage ends is probably my favorite part of the whole chapter. Maybe even the center of this sermon today. Verse 39 continues, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Amen. Amen. So what led all these people to Jesus? Doesn't say this woman had some perfect strategy or eloquent words. All she had was her witness, her testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And what I especially love about that line is that in that context, a woman's testimony was worthless. It had no use. She could not even be called upon in the court of law. Can you imagine that? And then I'll add on to that her background and her reputation. There was zero reason for her to expect anyone to listen to her story. And yet, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of her testimony. This one woman's testimony has become the beginning of many others. While that culture should have minimized the woman's story, Jesus used it to multiply his disciples. And Jesus also uses it to take her story and he transforms it. She goes from being used by men to used by God. She began as an outcast of her community, and now she ends as an agent of change within it. From alone by a well to surrounded by believers. We see how sharing her new story with Jesus empowers the woman to overcome any shame she might have felt from the old one before him. So if you think that your witness is worth it, I want you to hear that you're wrong. It might actually be the most valuable thing that God has given you. You could keep your story to yourself. You could. You have that right. But what would be the value in that? A story with Jesus only becomes a witness if it is shared with others, and testimony happens in the telling of it. Amen. I don't know many people who told their testimony as well as Heather Hill did. If you are a guest here today, I so wish that you had been able to know Heather. I have a friend here from Asbury who actually, I think, had a class with her, right, Chance? Heather met Jesus face-to-face on June 19th, and it's been hard for me not to think about her reading a passage like this. Heather was a huge part of this community, a sweet friend, a wise soul, an incredible minister. She also happened to be a convicted felon whose life was radically transformed by Jesus. If you knew Heather Hill, you knew her story. And even people who didn't know Heather personally also knew her story because she loved telling it. And God made her so good at sharing it. 3 weeks ago, we held Heather's celebration of life. And if you were in here, you'll already know about what I'm going to repeat. Because her dad shared about a man in prison who Heather had made a huge impact on. His life had also been radically transformed by Jesus, so now he's involved in ministry and leading services in prison. And a couple months ago, the man shared about Heather's story in his sermon. And apparently, that story made such an impact on people that it spread to another prison ministry. And Heather's dad told us that while she was in the hospital during that last month, she received this giant card with notes from all these people in prison whose Heather's story had made an impact on. There is power in a story. Amen. There is even more power in sharing it. Amen. You don't have to have a story like Heather's to have a testimony worth telling. I remember being on a youth mission trip a few years ago when I was a teenager. And we had one of those nights where everyone in our small group was opening up about, you know, all the hard things that had happened in their life, the most challenging things we'd experienced, and how we'd seen God move in our lives through all of it. And this one girl was telling us that she felt bad that she didn't have some powerful testimony because nothing that dark or dramatic had ever happened to her. She grew up in church every week. And she'd always believed Jesus loved her because she had a relatively healthy home and her parents lived it out well. So just a few days ago, I was talking to a mentor friend of mine who has a pretty similar story. So I was asking her about the same kind of thing. These are her words. I used to think that I didn't have a testimony, but now I see that my whole life is a testimony. God was being faithful to me when he was being faithful to my parents and to my grandparents. Every Christ follower has a story of God's faithfulness. And every person's story can bless others. Pastor Carolyn put it this way to me. She said, "We're not responsible for the story we don't have. We're just responsible for the one we do." So if you have a story of radical transformation like Heather's, share it. Because people need to know that God can radically transform lives. And if you have a story that you think is too normal to be interesting, share it. Because other people need to hear that God works in normal lives too. And that their story matters too. God uses all kinds of stories. And you have no idea how yours could impact someone else. Just think about your own faith journey for a moment. You didn't get here on your own. Who has influenced your faith the most? Who introduced you to Jesus? Who has helped you to get to know him better? How has hearing their story shape your own? Do you have someone in mind? I'll tell you personally that hearing other people's stories has made a huge impact on my own. So around the time of middle school, I started struggling with feelings of loneliness, and hopelessness, emptiness, and worthlessness. And it felt really dark and heavy for years. And I believed in Jesus, but it was kind of the same way that you believe in Santa Claus. Like, I believed in him, but that didn't mean I had a real relationship with him. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. Then around the seventh grade, my sister introduced me to podcast sermon recordings of a guy named Ben Stewart. And I could not stop listening to them. I probably binged like 5 years worth of sermons, I mean, before I even got to high school. Basically, just until I caught up to the present. And those sermons were a huge catalyst for my faith. Huge. I cannot tell you the titles, any of them. I can't remember any clever quotes or creative acronyms. But what has stuck with me until now and impacted me back then was story after story after story that Ben shared about God's work in his life. And through those stories, I learned about God's character and compassion in a way that I hadn't known before. I found out about the kind of hope that I had been longing for, but wasn't sure how to find myself. So my freshman year of high school, I joined this Bible study at my school. And all of a sudden, I had all these new friends who were sharing their stories of Jesus with me, most of which happened in their church community. So those stories inspired me to join a church pretty much as soon as I got my driver's license. And when I began to ask my youth group leaders for help with those things that I was still kind of struggling with on my own, it was their stories that strengthened my own faith and eventually gave me the courage to begin sharing my own story. And I've noticed over the years that as I've gotten more comfortable sharing my story with people, especially with, you know, teenagers like I was, the more I've noticed them also get more comfortable with me. Sharing parts of my story with people has helped them to trust me. And it's given me the opportunity to speak into their lives in ways that I wouldn't have been able to before. What I've been learning is that people probably aren't going to open up to us about their stories if we never open up first. Amen. I may be the one who lived my story, but I'm not the one who wrote it, so I don't own it. My story doesn't start with me, and neither does yours. Our stories begin with God, the author of life, who stepped into the story himself in the person of Jesus. The Gospel of John ends by saying Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. I wonder if we'll get to hear those stories one day. and all the others with Jesus that have happened since the Bible was written. When I think about eternal life with the family of God, I wonder if any of it will look a bit like my own family, who loves to tell stories, never runs out of them. And I wonder if one day we'll get to sit with our brothers and sisters in Christ and share story after story after story about the many things Jesus has done. What if we began living like that today in this family? What if we began sharing our stories in this life with these brothers and sisters in Christ in this church? And what if by sharing our stories within Mosaic, we then became more ready to bless others with them beyond our church community? So this is why we're starting a little thing today called the Share Your Story campaign. So now you know what that piece of paper that you got was when you walked in the room. If you have been waiting for an opportunity to share your story at Mosaic, if you have been just hoping that someone would finally ask you to share your testimony, here is that thing that you've been begging for. This is an opportunity for all of us, and I do mean all of us, to share our stories. I'm strongly encouraging each person to at least pray about it, and you're going to get a few emails from me. You will maybe even get a phone call or two from me. Not because I want this to feel like homework, but because I truly believe that this could be a beautiful thing for our community. I mean, can you imagine it? So from now on until July 27th, we're going to be collecting your stories with Jesus, however you'd like to share them. You could type it out online. That's what the QR code will take you to. Write it out on a piece of paper. Talk with me in person. And then after those 3 weeks, then we'll begin taking those stories and sharing them within our church community. Which means the more stories that y'all give me, the more stories I get to share, and the more we get to hear and celebrate together. I've said it already, and I will say it again because it is true. Every Christ follower has a story with Jesus. And every person's story matters. Every kind of story matters. Your story matters. So we want to hear it. And we can struggle to share our stories, but we don't have to stay stuck there. So if you're like me and can struggle talking about Jesus with people outside the church, my hope is that this practice is going to help us to begin moving beyond that for a few reasons. First, because it is hard to share your story with someone if you have never reflected on it enough or seriously enough yourself to be able to articulate it. Maybe life with Jesus is new for you, and you are still trying to figure out how you even got here, what it all means. Maybe you just feel like so much has happened in your life, and you don't even know where you would begin telling someone about it. You don't know how to make sense of it all. Maybe you've tried to forget some of the more painful parts of your story, and you would rather not think about it at all. You've been procrastinating on getting healing because of it. Learning to tell your story with Jesus requires us to look back on our lives and see how God has been at work through all of it. So if you've been waiting for an excuse or the right timing to finally really process your own story, this is your opportunity. But timing could be better than reflecting on your story alongside a whole community of people who are learning to do it with you. And second, because writing out your story at least once is going to make it so much easier to share about it in the moment when you're with someone and the Lord is leading you to do so. I completely believe that the Holy Spirit can give us the words and the wisdom in the moment to share our story. But we can also give God something to work with. There is a reason preachers prepare for sermons. There is a reason why we write stuff before we even get up here. Because you don't have to be spontaneous to be Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit is in the preparation and the prayer and the processing too. So when the Holy Spirit does give you the opportunity to share your story with someone, you're not going to be trying to articulate it for the first time ever. You have already spent time praying about it and processing about it. And third is that once you share your story within Mosaic, you'll be more comfortable sharing it with others. Because that first step is hard. That first time is hard. Maybe you still get nervous talking about your life before Jesus, so you also struggle to talk about how life with Jesus has changed it. You just talk about it all like a very vague past. Maybe you're still carrying around a lot of shame about your story and you're afraid you're going to be judged for it. This is a safe community. It means that this community is giving you a beautiful opportunity to let Jesus help you face those fears and overcome the shame that has taken hostage of your story. And if you're not quite ready to share your story publicly, you can commit to sharing it with one person and let us know. And you know, I would be so honored to be that person. Either to help you write it, if you want someone to help you write it, or if you just want me to listen and pray with you and thank God for you, for his faithfulness throughout your life, I'd be honored to be that person. This practice of the Share Your Story campaign also is going to give us a lot of great storytelling tools, which is that sheet that y'all got walking in. The Blessed book that we've been using for this sermon series has some great stuff in it about not just why story sharing matters, but how to do it well. So I've adapted some of that material into that guide, and there's also going to be copies out in the gathering hall, and that QR code will take you to a website if you just want the link and be able to throw the paper away. That website will also give you all the information you need and the link so that you will be able to share your story with us when you are ready. This week, Cindy and I met to go through this service and begin to pray over it together. We talked about sharing our stories. We talked about our own stories a little bit too. And as we were praying, Cindy got this vision, really strong vision, of quilts draped all across the worship stage and people praying with them. Some of the quilts you see here are part of a family heritage that has been passed down for generations. There's one over here that Teresa Anderson gave us where you can see these names and dates on different patches of quilts from multiple generations in her family. And most quilts are made out of a collection of patches. The patches may look different from each other, but they're still connected to each other and held together by these lines of stitching. Each of these pieces were created to be part of something larger than themselves. A quilt patch only finds where it belongs when it is joined with others and becomes a quilt. When we look at these quilts, we see our story, as in the story, the one we share with Jesus and with those Samaritan believers and with each other. We see what it means that my story and your story are all pieces of the greater story of the church. It's part of our heritage and the family of God touching every generation. We tell a tale as old as before time even began, yet it's a story that never gets old. Amen. Our stories don't all look the same. Some stand out a little more than others, but God's grace is the common thread running through all of them. By God's grace, we are connected to each other, and we who were once solo scraps are stitched into unity. It is God who holds our stories together, and his kingdom is what you and I were created for. Your story is not yours alone, but was always meant for something much larger than itself. So it is in being shared, that your story finds its belonging. Each of us and our stories are a patch in God's quilt. We are a sentence in God's novel, sons and daughters in his great family tree, an eyelash on the body of Christ. A sequin in the gown of his bride, a reserved seat at the final banquet table, where we will probably tell stories, I hope. Your story is part of something much grander than yourself, far beyond what we can understand in this life. And when each of us tells our story, it means more of the story of God's work in the world is shared in the world. So what's your story? How is God calling you to share it? I want to invite you to stand with me if you would. It's my favorite question on that list that they all were given is, in this broken world, how are you becoming whole through Jesus? Because that's Mosaic's question, right? That's the thing we do. That's the thing we talk about. In this broken world, how are you becoming whole through Jesus? That's what Mosaic is about, and that is what our stories are about. So maybe as we continue in prayer and worship together, you're going to want to reflect on your story and think about how Jesus has taken your brokenness and is making you whole. And also, I want to invite you to begin now, today, in this moment, to begin praying about sharing your story with this family in Christ and Mosaic. And I want you to know that you don't have to be fully healed or fully whole.